Rick, we'll start with the report on new home sales, which took an unexpected rise in September.
There's conflicting signs out there in the home sale market, new and existing homes. We've talked in recent weeks about the surprising drop in multifamily housing starts. And so we're in a kind of a period of flux. Sales generally, both new and existing homes, are not growing as rapidly as they were a couple of quarters ago. There's evidently some supply side restrictions. Who would have thought, again, that here in Florida, when several years ago we were talking about decades of inventory, that in some hot markets we're actually seeing a shortage of inventory. And that's exacerbated by the fact that Florida lost about 53% of its construction jobs from 2006 until 2010. And so many of those people are gone. They've either left the state to be able to stay in construction, or they've gone into other fields of endeavor. And so the constraint then is skilled subcontractors. And we see prices rising as a result of expensive inputs, particularly labor inputs, particularly skilled subcontractors. And we also see prices rising because the Fed is keeping interest rates so low that those low monthly payments for the privilege of borrowing the money, then get capitalized into higher housing costs. But in the last several months, we have seen both new and existing home sales level off to some extent.
A report on the Florida minimum wage, too, which recently went up by a nickel. It didn't go up at all last year. That kind of goes with the rise in the COLA for Social Security, too. These are all tied to the Consumer Price Index, right?
They are tied to the Consumer Price Index. And, of course, that makes eminently good sense, that if you're going to give a cost of living adjustment, it should be tied to the change in the cost of living. However, it sure doesn't feel good if you're a senior and you're only looking at a couple of dozen dollars increase in the annual payment for Social Security. And it doesn't feel good if you're at the bottom end of the wage scale and only looking at a 5 cent increase in Florida's minimum wage. That just doesn't go very far when you were starting out at $8.05 an hour, 5 cents more. It doesn't feel good. And if you look at the bundle of goods and services that people buy, things that many lower income households would consider to be essentials, such as education, such as healthcare, the cost of providing services is going up more rapidly than manufactured goods. You know, microwaves are cheaper now than when you and I bought our first ones back a couple of decades ago. And the same is true for all manufactured goods, from computers to audio equipment, et cetera. It's really the price of services that is rising. And if you are an older person and perhaps consuming more healthcare services, as is the typical pattern, then you're not seeing your healthcare expenses decrease. And so the overall increase in the consumer price index doesn't necessarily match the spending of the people that need that cost of living increase.
Is it time to take a look at revamping what we look at for the consumer price index?
You know, it could be. I'd certainly be in favor of having a separate one for manufactured goods versus the cost of services. That's a well-known dichotomy. And if you look at the consumer price index overall, it is actually held down by manufactured goods, and it's pulled upward, particularly by the cost of education services, but also medical services. And since healthcare is about almost 18% of U.S. gross domestic product right now, so yes, it makes sense to differentiate because people consume vastly different bundles of goods and services out there.
And finally, Rick, there's a recommendation from the Triumph Fund about helping young professionals downtown. First off, remind us, what is the Triumph Fund and what about that recommendation?
Of course, Triumph Gulf Coast, that was set up in Florida statute several years ago, 2011 actually, to assist Northwest Florida in regional economic transformation. There are a number of meetings occurring around the area looking at projects potentially to be funded with these BP economic damage dollars to the state of Florida. The Triumph statute specifies that 75% of those dollars will be used to support that economic transformation of Northwest Florida. And so Florida's Great Northwest, collaborating with the UWF Haas Center and then a consultant firm, TIP Strategies, out of Austin, Texas, is holding a number of meetings around the area to ask residents, stakeholders, for their input. And certainly some of the issues that have come up are about infrastructure, about the lack of affordable downtown housing, and then everything from soup to nuts, really. Faster internet access, four-laning roads, putting in new bridges to cross the bays in the region, that sort of thing. So it's fascinating to look at the proposals that are out there. However, the board of Triumph Gulf Coast won't be officially constituted until the legislature appropriates those BP damage dollars. And that always happens. The appropriations process finishes up at the end of every legislative session. So I'd expect to see them empowered sometime around the second week of May. And that money may be able to start flowing then late in 2017.
We'll leave it there, Rick. Thanks.
Thank you, Bob.
You can hear the Economic Report every Friday. I'm Bob Barrett, WUWF News.